John chapter 7 in your Bibles, John chapter 7. And we'll read a few verses and pray together, John chapter 7. And let's begin at verse 14, shall we? It says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters or education or learning, having never learned?" Can you imagine such a statement? Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine." That's a great statement, by the way. It's a great truth in the Bible, that God reveals his truth to those who obey his truth. You do what you're supposed to do, you listen to his word and do it, and you get more truth. And we know that's taught throughout Scripture. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. He that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him." Father, thank you for your word tonight. And please help us, Father, to not be distracted. May there be nothing between us and thee. And just give us strength, Lord, to hear from your Spirit through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most alarming, dangerous things occurring in the name of Christianity today is this ongoing preoccupation, it's been around for a little while, with human experience and emotions and feelings being elevated in churches and Christian ministries. And I'm talking about experiences that include things like visions and revelations, the actual voice of God, encounters with angels and demons, holy laughter and tongues and healing and out-of-body experiences and after-death experiences and so on. And it's gotten to the point in so many ministries and so many churches today that everybody is wanting to outdo the other. You go to the average bookstore these days and you will find a whole host of best-selling books written by preachers or evangelists or just regular church folk who claim that they went to hell and came back and lived to tell about it. And so they wrote a book. Or they talked to Jesus face to face. Or they went to heaven like Paul and got some exclusive info on what it's like, and they want to tell you all about it. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul waited 14 years before he ever told anyone about it. And he only did it then on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These folks wait about 14 days or until they get a book deal. You find books by people who travel back to Bible times, they say, and talk to apostles and prophets. They say they had angels, actual angels, over for dinner, wrestled with Satan himself, got a glimpse of the millennium. And so on. The list gets more and more bizarre as the years go by. In fact, one of the best-selling Christian books of the past several years was a book written by Robert Zelierden. You may have heard about it. Some of you may have read it. And it's called I Saw Heaven. Let me just read one paragraph. And when I said best-selling, I mean it was a best-selling book. In this paragraph, he claims that at the age of 11, he was ordained to be an apostle. Now, that in itself is troubling, but the proof of his ordination is more troubling. I'm going to read it to you. I need these because it's tiny. "The third time I saw Jesus," okay. "The third time I saw Jesus was when I was about 11 years old. Jesus walked in through the front door of my home while I was watching Laverne and Shirley on television. He came over and sat down beside me on the couch, kind of glanced at the TV, and everything in this natural world clicked off. I couldn't hear the telephone or the television set. All I heard was Jesus, and all I saw was his glory. He looked at me and said, 'Roberts, I want you to study the lives of my generals and my great army throughout time. Know them like the back of your hand. Know why they were a success and know why they failed. And you'll want nothing in that area.' He got up, walked out through the door. The TV clicked back on, and I resumed watching Laverne and Shirley." Now, folks, you know, when Isaiah got a vision of Christ's glory, he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." And he wasn't watching Laverne and Shirley. Paul, when he got a glimpse of the Lord, was blinded and fell down and said, "Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do?" And his life was changed forever. Moses' face shined with a reflection of God's glory. John fell at Jesus' feet as he was dead. He was so overwhelmed with the glory of Christ. But this guy, no, he goes back to watching his sitcom. Now, I'm sorry, but you know what? You have to go to the deli to get more bologna than just that one paragraph. But Pastor, you say, Pastor, that's the whole point. It is baloney. Who would ever buy or believe this stuff? I'll tell you who. Enough believers to make him a best-selling author, not once, not twice, but three times. And one of the favorite apostles from the 90s and on. In other words, the point is this. The point is a growing number of Christians have cast aside the Word of God, which, as we just studied the past few weeks, has all that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need is God's people. Everything is in this book. And they are casting it aside in favor of their own personal experiences. I remember a few years ago, I was watching TBN. Forgive me, okay, but I was. I used to do that. I don't know. I haven't done that in years, but I used to for some reason. And this guy was asked by the host, who came on there to talk about his history and talk about his ministry of possibility thinking. And he said, "Where'd that come from?" And this pastor, this famous pastor, said, "One night I was paging through my Bible and I came to Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible." And he said, "I realized that God was speaking especially to me because my birthday was in 1926. You get it, Matthew 19:26. My birthday is 1926, but that is God's Holy Spirit speaking to me as if chapter divisions are inspired. Now, the talk show host, instead of being even a little bit skeptical, was amazed by that. He was in awe of that. As a matter of fact, he was delighted, and he said, "I wonder what God's word, therefore, would have for me. I was born in 1934. So they very both excitedly turned to Matthew 19:34. Ah, there's only 30 verses. But you think that's going to dissuade or discourage guys like that? No, no, no. They said, "Well, let's try Luke 19:34. And he turned to it, and it said, "The Lord hath need of him." And I'm telling you, that host began to jump and clap and praise the Lord because he said, "God has need of this ministry." And the audience applauded. And what better time to start raising money than at that very moment, because God needs, we just got it from the Bible, God needs this ministry. Now, never mind the fact that Luke 19:34 is talking about a donkey and nothing else, right? And you know, beloved, here's where the danger lies. The danger lies in the fact that that man will not claim that he got that knowledge from his own experience. He'll say he got it from the Bible. He doesn't believe the Bible. He's using the Bible. He'll say, "The Word of God told me." No, it did not. You know, you tell me what you believe tonight. And I promise you that the reason you believe whatever you believe about whatever it is, you got that belief from only one of two sources. Now follow this. All of man's beliefs come from one of two sources. Either, number one, your own experiences, human experience, or number two, the Word of God. For instance, you believe the earth is round and not flat. You believe in democracy. You believe in miracles. You believe that Alaska is cold in January. Do you believe that fire can cause pain? It doesn't matter what the subject. Your belief in whatever that matter is, whatever it is, your beliefs are always derived from either your own experience or God's truth. For example, how many of you here believe tonight that childbirth involves some or a lot of pain? All right? Yeah, okay. I didn't really want you to raise your hands, but Robbie's like, hey, hey. Now, do you know why you believe that? Here's why you believe that. Either you've experienced it, not you, Rob, but, you know. Or you've never experienced it, but you still believe it because someone who has experienced it, you probably were there. And so you saw it, or your wife told you about it, or you read about it, you observed it. Either way, that's still human experience. It's yours or somebody else's, and it's human experience. On the other hand, do you know that it's possible to know and to believe that childbirth causes pain without any human experience? You've never experienced it, and you don't know of it ever being experienced by anyone you know. Nevertheless, you still believe it. You know why? Well, because God said in Genesis 3, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Again, without human experience or the truth of God's word, you really don't have any beliefs. A little child reaches out to touch a fire. They haven't learned yet what to believe about the fire, but they will, because a few experiences will teach them what to believe. And that reminds us that almost all of our beliefs first come from human experience, right? It's the parents you have and the education you receive, the books that you read or read, the places you live, the people you meet, the things that you do. These are all the things in our life experience that most influence what we believe about everything around us. So, that brings us to one of the most important subjects, I think, with regard to Scripture, and that is this. The difference between your experience. The difference between human experience and God's Word or God's truth. There's nothing inherently wrong with human experience. We all have them, except that all of it is, quote, under the sun. Remember the statement by Solomon. That's everything that is under the sun. Well, everything that's under the sun must be enlightened by that which is above the sun, that which is the Word of God. So let's just follow along for a few moments, and we'll look at some scriptures that reveal the difference between experience, human experience, and God's truth. Just a few points. Number one, beliefs that are based on human experience have a human authority. Beliefs that are based on God's truth have divine authority. Now, I want you to know something to me pretty amazing. John chapter 7, if you would, and verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, wondered, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Now, you know what? That is the typical attitude of the intelligentsia of our society, the educated elite in America and all over the world. You see, they don't consider anybody to be truly learned or intelligent. They don't consider anybody to have legitimate beliefs unless they have been educated by the educated. In other words, to be learned, you have to learn from the learned. But where do the learned learn from? I taught in Sunday school the teenagers this past week that the rabbis in Jesus' day wore these robes, and the robes would have different colored threads going through them that designated which rabbinical school they attended, school of Gamaliel or wherever. And so the colored threads would tell everyone else that they went to school and who accredited them, which school gave them accreditation and so forth, like doctoral robes. And of course, since our Lord Jesus did not have a rabbinical thread, to them, he wasn't accredited. In fact, they derided him for that fact. Look down, if you would, at verse 45, chapter 7. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Never. And I say amen to that. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Now, first of all, folks, the answer to that question is yes. You only have to go back a few pages and you'll find that many, it says. Many of the rulers, many of the Pharisees did believe on him. So that's just a fake statement right off the bat. But secondly, so what? Have any of the learned, anybody that's been accredited, have they believed on? So what? It's like saying, do any of the professors at Princeton believe in Genesis 1? Have any of the Supreme Court justices believed that Jesus rose from the dead? Do any of the Hollywood elite or Wall Street billionaires believe in the second coming of Christ or what the Bible says in the book of John? Well, I'm sure some of them do, but if they don't, if none of them do, so what? It just means they're all blind, and because of their blindness, they are not to be trusted. All of them believed. And all human beliefs are based on human experience and thus have human authority. Beliefs that are based on this book. So whatever you believe, if it's from this book, it has divine authority. That's valid, right? I mean, that means something. But if you're going to come to me and tell me that you have this great conviction, this great belief because you've been reading these books, or because you had a vision, that has no authority. Point number two. Beliefs based on human experience glorify man. Beliefs that are based on Scripture glorify God. Look what Jesus said in verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of his doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." You see, beloved, this simple observation by our Lord is anything but simple in its ability to expose false teachers and deceivers in this world. You see, all you have to do is use Jesus' plumb line and hold it up to any teacher. And if what they are teaching or preaching somehow exalts them, makes people walk away and say, "I never heard that before. He's awesome. She's the best speaker I have ever heard. I love her. I'll go anywhere. I'll pay anything. I'll do. She is unbelievable because she brings out stuff that I've never heard or read." Or if what they're teaching somehow exalts the teacher, you can be pretty sure it's not from this. The Holy Spirit told me something that no one's ever known before. Or I learned this after 20 years of just meditating and reading the giants of the faith, and God showed me something. Or I had a vision. I got a word of knowledge. I received a mysterious golden tablet that you've never seen. I have a special anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Beliefs based on human experience glorify men. And beloved, the Bible is crystal clear. Isaiah 4:28, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another." God doesn't share his glory with a man, no matter how eloquent or awesome that man claims to be. On the other hand, think about this. This is the power of Jesus' statement here. Who gets glory from quoting someone else? Who gets glory from simply carrying somebody else's message? Suppose one of the old Western Union telegram boys shows up at your home with a message from an old friend. It's a marvelous message. The message is exactly what you needed to hear at that time in your life, and it blesses you and it blows you away. What are you going to do? Are you going to praise the messenger? He didn't write it. He didn't author it. He just faithfully delivered it. Watch out for messengers who act like they wrote the message. Watch out for messengers who want to receive glory from themselves and not give the glory to God. You know why? Because these folks are looking for glory that only belongs to God. And that's one of the reasons why testimony time at a lot of charismatic churches in particular are getting weirder and weirder. They're always trying to outdo the other person. Oh, that happened to you. Let me tell you what happened to me. You're anointed. I'm triple anointed. I'm quadruple anointed. I can prove it to you. I've got gold dust on me from the angels when they were in the room. I didn't make that up. They said that. All that we are as God's people, as ambassadors for Christ, as believers, all that we are just God's delivery boys and girls. We're just, it's not our, we didn't come up with this glorious message. It is His message. And over again, our Lord Jesus said that His message was from the Father. You know, it impresses people when you tell them you had a personal revelation that only you had. It impresses people not in God, but in you. When you tell them, or when, not you, but when people tell others, and preachers and teachers and evangelists and whoever, or writers, they tell them that you discovered a truth on your own or a vision that you experienced. I remember there was this woman a few years ago. She was in a major counseling center, and she said that she wrote a song. And she's selling the song, and she's putting it out, and, you know, you're sending your money. She's selling a song, but what's special about this song is that the Holy Spirit gave her the music and the lyrics. Well, who can deny that? Me. The Holy Spirit gave her the words. That's blasphemy. That's divine inspiration. But in this case, gave her the tune, gave her the notes to write down as well. You see, that makes you look far more spiritual than just saying, I wrote a song, I was inspired to write the song, but not by the Holy Spirit. It makes you far more spiritual than just preaching from the Word of God. You realize this? Nothing in this book exalts me. Nothing in this book glorifies me. Everything in this book exalts Christ. Everything in this book glorifies God. All of it. So, based upon what Jesus said there, that I'm getting the message, I'm giving it to you, and people who give their own message glorify themselves, based upon that litmus test, you can turn off a lot of radio stations, amen, and a lot of TV stations, and go ahead and close up a lot of books and put them away. Point number three, beliefs that are based on human experience are emotional. Beliefs that are based on Bible truth are sober or rational. In other words, by sober, we mean that when you have this belief and it's based in the Bible, you have a reason for what you believe better and higher than your personal feeling for what you believe. People say, you can't tell me that tongues aren't for real because I've done it. That's like saying, you can't tell me aliens aren't for real because I was abducted once. There's no difference in the world to me than that. I can either believe this guy who says that one day a spaceship came and took him up and, you know, messed with him or whatever and got in his brain, brought him back. That's his personal experience, and it's very real to him. And, you know, some of these people believe this from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. But it's no more reliable than someone says to me, I believe in tongues because I experienced it. Just because they experienced it? We never base a doctrine on what you have experienced. Otherwise, your experience, your passions, your emotions will determine your beliefs. And human emotions are very fickle things. Look at chapter 7 again. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, skip down to verse 20. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be, I can't even read this red letter, not be a burden, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Look at verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You see, brother, look, the way you see things, or this is how I see it. The way you see things, when you just see them, isn't according to righteous judgment. That's experiential. That's purely emotional, which is to say, wrong. That is exactly why these Holy Ghost healing, anointing, slain, and spirit meetings are always preceded by 2 hours. 2 hours of oratorical, musical hype. They have to bring the emotions to the surface. They have to bring the feelings to the very top. Put it first. Make it an authority. Because ultimately what you experience that moment will determine what you believe going forward. That's scary. That's why so many people that you meet out and about say, I'm a Christian. And they're drinking and smoking and cussing and taking God's name in vain. They had some emotional experience a week ago, a month ago. It means nothing. Fourth point. Human experience changes constantly. Bible truth never changes. Turn ahead to chapter 12, would you? John 12. We're going to turn to Job in just a moment when we close, but for now, John chapter 12. Look at verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him. Look at these words. In the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. In other words, look. Do you know why Jesus said that his words, do you know why the Bible is the standard by which God judges us, even at the last day? Because it is unchanging truth. That makes the judgment just. Man's opinions, man's beliefs, man's experiences are always and constantly changing, which also means that their beliefs will change from person to person, and that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem in our society. There are no absolutes. But this is a book of absolutes. It is God's word, and it is God's word for all of eternity. Our understanding of the Bible may change because we grow in the Lord. We learn more. But thankfully, the Bible and what it teaches and what it says never changes. So unless you want to be a yo-yo and you believe one thing when you attend Beacon Baptist Church and you move away and then you attend the Alliance Church or the Christian Church or the Fellowship of Light Lovers or whatever, and then you believe whatever, each one, unless you want to change, then put your feet on the unchanging Word of God. Base your beliefs on truth, not experience. You know, if you discovered a way to win the entire world to Christ, some program or method, except to do this method or this program, you had to adopt some heresy or some new morality to do it, would it be right to do that? Of course it wouldn't be right. And I only say that for this reason. God does not ask us to change one jot of his truth to adopt to changing society so that we might reach more people. The excuse that people have for not trusting the Bible or doing what the Scripture says is that, you know what, society has changed and we want to reach more people, so we're going to ignore the Bible and base our ministry or our methods or my child rearing or my marriage on human experience rather than the Word of God. And it's folly. It's total folly. If the Lord Jesus himself, our supreme example, if he didn't appeal to human experience or personal opinion, then why in the world would we? If he always appealed to the Word and the words of God, why shouldn't we? If he based his entire life and ministry on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, this is Jesus who said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If that's what he did and that's what he believed, then why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we look at our home and our children and our church and our jobs and our nation and do the exact same thing the Son of God did? In other words, emulate the example of Christ himself, not the example of those who claim that they sat on a couch one day with Jesus, or they got a personal revelation or a personal vision or a word of knowledge. Which brings a final thought. Beliefs based on human experience places burdens on others. Beliefs that are based on God's word is a blessing to others. I want us to turn to Job, the book of Job, and we'll conclude with this. I want to remind you that Job, when Satan came before God and accused God and then accused Job, God reminded Satan that Job was as righteous as any man who was on the face of the earth. My servant Job, this man was righteous, godly. And it was Satan who said, yeah, all, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. That's a lie, by the way, right? All that a man hath will he give for his life. Now, that's true for most people in this world. They'll do anything to save their lives. They'll give up. Steve Jobs would have given up $1 billion if he could still be alive. So it's true for most people. But it's not true for everybody. For some people, things are more sacred than their human life, like their faith. There are thousands and thousands of martyrs who prove that Satan's statement is a lie. But that's what he believed. So he said, if you remove the hedges from this righteous man, he will curse you. So this is the context of Job. And Job is suffering. And Job is in agony. And he's lost his family and his health. And he's sitting and his whole world has been turned upside down. And this is what happens. Remember, he has three friends. Excuse me. Friends. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, will thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Already so pious, right? Will you allow me to talk to you? But I cannot but speak to you. I must. I can't stop myself. I just must tell you what I know about your situation. That already sounds pious, but he's about to lay it on really thick. And this is what I mean when I say that beliefs based on human experience lay burdens on people. Look at verse 12. Eliphaz says, now, Job, a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men. Ooh. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit, I knew that was coming. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hairs of my flesh stood up. Now, mind you, Job is in agony. He's in deep sorrow. This is the man who's supposed to give him comfort. And what he's telling him is, let me tell you about this weird thing I had one night. I mean, the hairs on my skin stood up. A spirit passed before my face. Verse 16, the spirit, stood still. But I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence. And I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Blah, 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 blah. And it goes on. Now, wait a minute. The basis of Eliphaz's counsel to Job was built entirely on some spiritual, spooky vision he had that he claimed came from God. And folks, it's pretty convincing. There's just one problem. Eliphaz goes on in his speech, if you continue to read, to condemn Job. His conclusion was this: since righteous men don't suffer like this, Job, you must not be righteous. Now think about this. The most righteous man on earth, according to God's word, had to endure accusations that he was unrighteous according to man's word. Of course, this man's word was based upon this amazing, spooky, scary vision he had. And it's no wonder a few chapters later, Job cries out, "Miserable comforters are ye all." Man's word lays burdens on people. I told the young people years ago, when you think of Eliphaz, think of elephant, because Eliphaz stomped all over God's choicest servant. So remember this. The Bible is very careful in the book of James, for example, to say, be not many masters, be not many teachers. Don't go around telling anybody and everybody stuff that they should be doing or not be doing, and don't do it because you receive the greater condemnation, right? The greater damnation, it says. That means judgment, because your words can influence lives. Well, the one thing you don't want to do is give them your words. Well, this is my experience. When I raised my kids, this is what I did. It has nothing to do with Scripture. Dangerous territory. Oh, really? I know how to fix your marriage. Do this. I read this one day in this psychology book. It was great stuff. And by all means, don't say, well, you know, I had a dream one night. I had a vision. I had a word of knowledge. And then you tell that person something as if it is the oracle of God, when it's not. When it's based on a human experience, all you're doing is laying burdens on them. This is God's eternal, infallible, preserved word. This is God's love letter to us. Why in the world would we want to rely on some fickle human philosophy, emotion, or experience? When we have, as we studied the last few weeks, we have in the Scriptures, Peter said, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Father, we are thankful for your word, and I pray that in a society, and we're reminded that all through the epistles in the New Testament, you inspired your servants, Paul and Peter and others, Jude, that in the last days, people with itching ears would heap to themselves teachers, and they would sound good, and they would be pleasant, but they would teach falsities. They would teach things not in your word. And I pray, God, we will recognize the power, the glory, the wonder of this, the revealed word of God, that we would believe it. And as Jesus said, they who do of his commandments will know of the doctrine. May we obey it as well. And help us to have discernment as God's people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.